Just turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7. Can everybody hear me? Good. I want to welcome everyone here that's new and everyone that's new every morning. Hallelujah. Are you new today? Amen. We're new, brand new. Now, if you woke up a little miserable this morning, it's because you woke up and shook hands with a devil. Amen? So you need to shake and loose yourself from it. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah! You know, so many people want to get freed. They want to get delivered. They want to get healed. They want all kinds of things. But you know what? They're not willing to do it. There's a price to pay. They're not willing to do it. Then they wonder why God doesn't move on their behalf. How many times have we cried out to God, "Oh, Lord, help!" And He says, "Okay, do this." We go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then we get there and we say, "Huh, well, it's really not what I want. It's just really not what I want. But is it what God wants?" Amen? So we begin to ask over and over and over, "Oh, Lord, help! Do this!" And He says, "Okay, I'll do it again. Let's do this." Oh, and we get back to that same old place. Over. Asking. But never seeking. You'll never get until you seek. You can ask till you die and never get till you seek. Hello? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Come on, read it with me. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will" what? "You'll find." Oh, hallelujah. So if you ain't seeking, you ain't finding. In other words, you're asking. It's like writing a letter to Santa Claus. You never get anything. Because He can't give you nothing. It's nothing but a fable, isn't it? People are asking, but never seeking. And they never find. Then they go astray. Then they blame God. "Well, I've been asking for this." And God's been answering you. He says, "Seek. Then you'll find. Then the door will be open to you." That's freedom. Hello? But first you've got to ask. Then you've got to seek. But so many people ask and never seek. Amen? It's like someone who comes to counsel and asks. Amen? But they don't seek. Hello? Here it is. God gives you the answer. But you don't do it. That means because you're not seeking. Amen? Then freedom is not there. Then we bring a curse upon ourselves because we rejected the counsel of the Lord. Then more stuff opens up. Has everybody got it? Everybody with me this morning? Can everybody hear? So He says, ask, then seek. You're going to find. When you find, the door is open to you. That's where freedom is. Amen? Verse 7 again. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." He goes on to say, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone?" See, when we ask, God makes the way. But the problem is we stop seeking, so we don't find it. Amen? "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Some people get afraid. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, fear always moves people out of position. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who what? To ask him. Those, now, he's got a little stipulation in here. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. So don't go there and ask something if you ain't right, because you're not going to get. He won't even give you the direction to seek. Is everybody with me? See, they ask but fall short of seeking and don't find. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy. It's called the spirit of complacency. It's called the spirit of complacency. Is everybody with me? They ask but fall short of seeking, so they never find. They say they're going to do it, but never get to it. Hello? That's called a spirit of complacency. It's carnal reasoning prevents advancement. Does everybody understand that? Carnal reasoning always prevents advancement. This spirit promotes self-satisfaction. The spirit promotes self-satisfaction. That's what the spirit of complacency is. It promotes self-satisfaction. And also, false contentment. It's called the spirit of complacency. False satisfaction and false contentment. In other words, it prevents from people seeing things through and completing assignments with perfection. Is everybody with me? It prevents us from seeing things through. It brings a false contentment. I'll use an illustration. God has given you to build something. Whatever it may be. He says we labor in vain if we don't allow the Lord to build a house. But He gives us directions on how to build a house, doesn't He? Amen? So if we try to shortcut it, skimp on it, we're not building the right foundation, anything in that arena. We come into the area of the spirit of complacency because it brings self-satisfaction and I've done what I could do even though I know I could go the extra mile. Amen? See, going the extra mile says seek. Seek. You know, there's three chambers of God's tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. You'll never get into the most holy place until you seek. You can stand out in the outer courts and ask till you drop dead, but you'll never get into the most holy place until you seek. Amen? That's why He says, ask, seek, and knock. See, the veil was already ripped. That's why we can go in there. That's where the door is open. The Spirit prevents us from seeing things through and completing assignments with perfection. I'm going to share something else that promotes self-seeking. It promotes self-seeking. The spirit of complacency will promote self-seeking instead of seeking things through. Is everybody with me? Put your eyes on you. This spirit of complacency is a devil. It's a demon. And it brings deception. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. You know, if you begin to reflect in so many areas that we've touched and agree with the Spirit, and we couldn't go any further. Oh, we found out that we had to go repeat something that we were supposed to do because we didn't seek. It prevents us from seeking all the way through and promotes self-seeking because the spirit of complacency turns you to you. What does it promote? Self-satisfaction. False self-satisfaction. False contentment. Oh, hallelujah. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge, which means truth. It says, make no way for the devil. Well, we're making so much way for the devil. I'm telling you, God is tightening up right now. He's tightening up stuff. He's exposing the enemy in so many areas of our life. The Bible says that the path of the righteous is narrow and difficult. It's not wide and simple. It's not wide and easy. You're not going to tiptoe through the tulips and expect to make it home. You're going to fight. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves. We're going to fight, and there's a war going on. And if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. There's a war going on. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I just don't feel like fighting. Why? Spirit of complacency. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and starting in verse 1. Read it with me. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Come on, are you in perilous times? If you're not, something's wrong. There's a lot of stuff going on, man. I don't know anybody in this room, including myself, that isn't going through stuff. Well, welcome to the kingdom of God. You're going to go through stuff. Why? Because you're going to get squeezed. By the time you hit the throne room of God, you're going to be a precious pearl. Hallelujah. Perilous times are here, brothers and sisters. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without what? Self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Having a form of what? Oh, yes, a form of godliness, yes. But denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Bad company corrupts good habits. People get caught up in the soulish realm. The Bible says, turn away from an individual. Hello? People try to comfort an individual that is not doing the right thing when they need to be convicted. So they turn to do the right thing. See, when you comfort someone that's not doing the right thing, because the Bible says if you know a brother that's sinning, turn him to the righteous way. Turn him away from his sin. Well, I'm not going to go up and comfort someone and say, oh, it's okay, just keep sinning. Then I'm accountable. Not only that, I just promoted what he's doing or she's doing wrong. Amen? Then the blood is on my hands. Because these are ways and tactics of the enemy. Bad company corrupts good habits. Yeah, well, he's a good friend of mine, man. You know, I know I go over there and I watch TV with him, and you know, I try to witness with him, and you know, well, Jesus hung around with the ungodly. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He didn't live with them. He visited them. Hello. He didn't hang around with them in that arena where we talk about hanging around. He didn't become good friends with them. He went and sat with them, and then departed. And he left an impartation. Amen? He left an impartation that said, turn from your ways. He didn't sit there and drink with them and party with them. He did not become like them. He was separated from them. He was the witness of truth. Amen? And he left an impartation. Turn from your ways. Amen? He showed love and compassion and tenderness. But he's always left the impartation. When you got around Jesus, you were convicted instantly of the things that you did wrong. You didn't have to say anything. It was already a conviction because his love would rip right through him. His presence went right around to the whole room. People didn't even really want to drink around him. Come on, you know when the anointing is on you and you go into a place, everybody gets convicted. Amen? They get convicted. But men will be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, we must come out of this soulish ministry and get into the ministry of the Spirit. Bad company corrupts good habits. These are self-seekers associated with the spirit of complacency. Amen? Self-seekers. Go to James 4. Oh, hallelujah. It's got real quiet in here today. What's happening? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that is within us, bless His holy name. Amen. And the mouth of babes. Praise God. James 4, the first three verses. Would you read it with me? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not what? Receive, because why? Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. People, they ask amiss, asking for things that do not pertain to need or character. They're asking for things of pleasure, fulfillment of flesh. Does everybody understand that? They ask for things that do not pertain to a need or pertain to the character of Christ, but they ask for things that pertain to fulfillment of flesh. Did ever take a child into a store? Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? Oh, come on! I took my daughter on a bike ride yesterday. She convinced me to take her to Dunkin' Donuts. So I figured, all right, I'll take you to Dunkin' Donuts. So I took her to Dunkin' Donuts. We went in there because she usually gets the first Dunkin' Donuts was the wrong one. That's not the one we go to, Dad. Well, where's the one you and your mother go to? I'll show you. Let's head home. So I said, okay. I was taking her for a ride on a bike anyway. So we cruised in. She, yeah, there's the one there. So we pulled in there. We went in there. And my wife usually takes her there to get a little scoop of ice cream. So we went in there and I said, well, what kind of ice cream you want? She goes, I don't want ice cream. I said, what do you mean you don't want ice cream? She walks over and she looks at this donut that has every kind of sprinkle color on it, you know? She goes, that's what I want. I said, all right. So I got her something. Got myself a cup of decaf, and I got myself something else. Guess I'm getting convicted today. It was a banana nut muffin. No sprinkles. I was tempted, but I couldn't go that route. I just said, no way. I know the indigestion those things give you later. See, I was seeing things through. I figure I can get by with the muffin, banana, nut. So we get done with that, and she's sitting there eating it, and she says, she's got sprinkles all over her face. And she looks at me and she says, Dad? I said, yeah. Can I have some ice cream? I said, Liz, you just hand the donut. You made the exchange. This is what you wanted. No, I want the ice cream now. I said, no, that's it. Well, can I have some water? Well, yeah, you can go get some water. We already paid for it. Go ahead and get it out of there. She comes back, looks like water. It's got this flavored poop water. It's garbage. It's got this flavored stuff with kind of, I didn't have my glasses, so I couldn't read everything that was in it. I didn't realize it, so she drank half of it. I said, Liz, I thought you went to go get water. Well, this is water. I said, it's not water. I want. You know, little kids, that's all they look for is to fulfill the flesh. That's why they're little flesh creatures. Amen? But you know, we as adults aren't supposed to be acting like a flesh creature. Especially if we have the Spirit of the living God. I want to kind of listen. Trying to fulfill the flesh. And we're supposed to have dominion over those things. Amen? Oh, kids can really teach us things. They ask amiss because they want to spend it on their flesh. Hello. Self-seeking. Go to Matthew 6. Hallelujah. I love my daughter. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 and verse 30, please. Yeah, right. Okay. There we go. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me, please? Matthew 6 and verse 30. Now if God so what? Clothes the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you little faith? I'm surprised He didn't put all you little flesh creature. Therefore do not what? Worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Sounds like me, me, me. I. Can I have? Can I have? Can I have? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. In other words, the unbeliever seeks these things. Amen? The unbeliever acts in that way. Amen. For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to verse 33. Come on, read it with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be... Wait a minute. How many of these things? All these things will be added. Oh, so, it didn't say ask, did it? It says seek, and these things will be added to you. Seek what? Seek the kingdom of God. In other words, seek the kingdom principles, ethics. Does everybody understand it? And all things will come, not by worldly principles, but by kingdom principles. Seek the kingdom principles. It says, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen? So these are, in other words, there's three areas that we want to seek. I'm going to just name them off really quickly. Christ's character, the mind of Christ, and the will of Christ. See, these are the things that we seek. Why? Because you're going to seek Christ's character, the mind of Christ, and the will of Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is. It says it's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. So these areas is what we must seek, that we may be seekers instead of self-seekers and get snagged or snared in the spirit of complacency. How many times you know that God has told you to do it and you've made every excuse not to? And it just seems that everything comes across your path that seems to be of God. But it's really not a part of your destiny. Does everybody understand? It's really not a part of your destiny. It's not a part of God's perfect will. How many of y'all in here ask for God's perfect will? Amen. Then He's going to move you out of the what? Worldly will. He's going to move. If you ask for the accept of the God's perfect will, how many wills are there? The good and the acceptable and the perfect. If you're asking God for the perfect will, He's going to move you out of the good and acceptable. That's where you're not satisfied for good. You're waiting for perfect. That's why you're not satisfied for just good. You're waiting for the best. Amen? But the enemy would like to move us out of position. Get us busy in doing things of the good and acceptable instead of the perfect, which will return 100-fold. Spirit of complacency. Go to Deuteronomy 4. So we know now to come out of this, we must be what? Seekers. We've asked in us, now we need to what? Seek. Deuteronomy 4. Is everybody getting this? Spirit of complacency is a devil. We touch and agree with him all the time. In verse 29. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Ooh. If you'll seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days. Hello? Are we in the latter days? Yeah. When you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like this has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? See, we are in an area right now where you hear the voice of God by the Holy Spirit of fire. This is the latter days when things are happening. God is exposing the enemy in such a great and mighty way in every area. And you know, and just as things are getting so much more sensitive. You know? Things are getting so much more sensitive. In the area of the enemy is being so much more exposed, and God is bringing his children into a place of more sensitive in the spirit. Clarity. Amen? Clarity. Well, you know, you begin to sense things now. Then you ask and then you seek. Amen? Where there's no complacency, no compromise. Not about pleasing man, but about pleasing God. Not about self-seeking, but seeking him with a pure heart. That's why we worship. We worship so that self-seeking can be removed into seeking. Amen? The Bible says, seek his face. Seek his face. Seek him with all of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because these things that we seek is his character, his mind, and his will. His character, his mind, and his... Go to 2 Chronicles 30. Praise you, Lord. Spirit of complacency. Second Chronicles, chapter 30. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 17, would you read it with me, please? Praise you, Lord. For there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who what? Prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Why? Because they sought with what? Prepared their hearts to what? Seek the Lord. They prepared their hearts. In other words, when we even come into assembly, we should prepare our heart to seek the Lord. Don't try to prepare it while you're doing it. Prepare yourself to come and seek the Lord. He who seeks what? Finds. And let me tell you, when you find Him, you got everything. Hallelujah. They what? They prepared their heart to seek the Lord. And what happened? They got healed. When you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, God answers prayer. He answers prayer. Now, it may not be according to the way you want it, but He answers prayer. Psalm 63. Hallelujah. In Psalm 63, starting at verse 1. Bless you, Lord. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. In other words, He acknowledged Him. You are my Creator. You are my Master. You are my King. You are my Deliverer, my Healer, my Provider, my Hope, my Strength, and my Life. You are my everything. And without You, I can do nothing, and I am nothing. Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. Early. In other words, as soon as you get up. Are you seeking fulfillment of the flesh as self-seeking, or are you seeking Him? Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. What an expression. In other words, he without water you have no life. He was looking for life. Life Himself, the life giver. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall what? Praise You. There's that worship. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. He says, early will I seek Thee. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. In verses 16 and 17. Would you read it with me, please? Psalm 40 and verse 16 and 17. Let all those who seek You rejoice and be glad in You. Let such as love Your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. When I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, my God. Who? There is joy. There is deliverance. There is protection. There is healing. See, you can't just ask and walk away. You must ask and seek. Go to Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Go put on your Colossians. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Everybody there? Come on, let's speak this one out. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me share with you about seeking. Seeking means setting. Does everybody understand it? In other words, you're setting. As you're seeking God, you're setting Him before you. Does everybody understand this? You're setting, what does He say? Seek those things above. What are you're setting things above. You're setting the Word in front of you. You're setting these things right in front of you. The Bible says, seek the face of God. You're setting the face of God in front of you. When you seek, you set things up. You turn your ways. Because when you're seeking in the world, you're seeking the things of self. That's self-seeking. But when you seek God, you pull those things that are of God and of the kingdom and you set them before you and you begin to seek them. Is everybody with me? That's why you will not go off course, because you've set them in front of you and you are now seeking them. Is everybody okay? So when you pray, you set the face of God before you. Seek my face, He says. Then you set His face before you. And you seek. You begin to talk to Him. And He begins to talk back. Hallelujah. Seeking is setting. Go to Psalm 16. So if you're setting things before you, then that means you've got to focus. Amen. You've got to have dominion over your focus. Psalm 16, I'm sorry. Psalm 16. So when you worship the Lord, you don't look around the room. That means you're setting things. You're not seeking God then. Is everybody there? When you're in the room, look, this is just nothing but a room. It becomes the house of God when God's people come in. Now it's the house of God, right? Okay, because we're gathered together. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble. And it says it's good for brethren to dwell together, because there's a special corporate anointing. The anointing is here right now. Holy Spirit's moving, seeking our hearts, trying to purify and removing all the little darts and all the garbage and some that are hard in heart that are still rebelling. Amen. And rebellion is witchcraft. So as you and I begin to seek, we set things before us. We begin to focus. As we worship, we don't look around the room seeing what everybody else is doing. We begin to set things before us. We set His face before us. We begin to worship Him. Of course, I know you got to open your eyes when you're dancing. You wouldn't want to dance over somebody. But you're dancing onto Him. There's a wonderful atmosphere that busts and changes as we begin to dance. Amen? As you begin to dance, right, Lorenzo? As you begin to dance today, something begins to happen. Freedom becomes. I mean, you know, and the enemy would just say, oh, don't do that. Pride kill you. We got to be willing to do whatever it takes according to the kingdom of God. If the Bible says do it, then we got to do it. It has nothing to do with what you think about it, how you feel about it, and what your position is about it. It has nothing to do with it. That's self-seeking. Has everybody got that? That's associated with the spirit of complacency. I'm self-satisfied. That's all I need is what I got right now. Then you're backsliding. Because we're supposed to be going forward, not backwards. Listen, if you're still where you are, then you're backsliding. We're to be going forward. Hello? Where did I say to go? Thank you. Psalm 16? Okay. We did that already. Psalm 40. No, we did that already. We already know. Psalm 16. Thank you so much. I'm there. In verse 7. Come on, will y'all? Come on, tighten up. Forgive me. Psalm 16 now. Is everybody there? Do I have to wait any longer? In verse 7 and 8. Come on, read it with me. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be what? Moved! So you set Him before you. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. What was He doing? He was setting the will of God before Him. He was seeing the Father do it first. See, He knew what the will of God was. So He set it before Him and did it. What's the Bible say? If you know what to do is good, and you don't do it, it's sin. Spirit of complacency causes people to lose focus. They begin to set self-seeking. They begin to associate with the good and acceptable will instead of the perfect will. Can we go to Isaiah 55 now? Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 55. Thank you, Master. In verse 6 and 7. Is everybody there? Praise God. The spirit of sleepiness comes on you, slap them off. If you miss them, let your neighbor do it. Hallelujah. Slap that spirit of compromise, complacency, and laziness and sleepiness off. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while He may be what? Found. Call upon Him while He is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. So we are to seek the Lord while He can be found, and while He is near. Listen, there's a special time when all of a sudden the Lord walks in, or His presence comes by, and all of a sudden you've got to go like, whoa, I've got to go talk to the Lord. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. I can sense in my spirit that the Holy Spirit just wooed by me, and He's just wooing me, and He's saying, come on, separate yourself for a couple minutes here. I just want to talk to you. You know, He just may want to love on you. But see, if we're not sensitive to that area, we're going to miss God. Amen? How many times has He said, come here? Well, I'm too busy doing your work. Come here. Sometimes He says, come here, and we say, I'm too busy praying. Come here. No, Lord, I got to pray. Hello? Lord, I don't have time for you right now. I got to go pray. Sometimes He just wants you to sit down and listen. Just to listen. Come on, sit down. Listen. What's He want to do? Bring you words of encouragement? sometimes direction. Correction. Would you turn to James 3? Oh, to God be the glory. The devil is being exposed. Again. James chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 16, would you read it with me? It says that where envy and what? Self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So when we begin to associate with the spirit of complacency, and it brings us into the area of self-seeking instead of seeking, it produces strife and envy. Confusion and every evil thing is available. In other words, now the devil has access to you. Understand this. It's like a piece of popcorn that goes on the ground that you dropped, right? And you pick it up and eat it. But it really, you never dropped it. It was just one that was put there. This is how the enemy works. Does everybody understand what I just said? Too bad. This is how sensitive things are. You're all right, let me put that bag of popcorn, you know, all right? The enemy slipped one in, okay? So you drop some popcorn, and you end up picking it up, but there was one that you didn't drop, and you pick it up and eat it. This is how sensitive, and this is what the enemy is doing right now. The simplicity, and remember, the Bible says that the enemy is what? The most cunning beast there is. I'm telling you, he plants that little corruptible seed in. And unless we are getting closer to the Lord, unless we're getting more light, unless we're getting more lit up, amen, we're not going to see that. And that corruptible seed is going to grow and bear fruit for the enemy, move us out of position and not for God. So just look at that popcorn that you thought was yours, and it wasn't. And you ate it. Hallelujah. Now does everybody understand that? That little parable? The popcorn parable? It's again. Self-seeking produces envy and confusion in every evil thing. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 19, the parable of popcorn. I think Jesse threw plan to say something like that. Popcorn! Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. Ooh, this is very powerful. What's he saying? He said self-seeking. See, God is trying to look for like-minded individuals. As a pastor, I look for like-minded individuals. Amen? A builder is trying to look for like-minded individuals. So he doesn't have to go behind individuals. He can send them out and know that they're going to do it exactly what they would do. That's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for like... Why? Because what are we supposed to be seeking? Christ's character, Christ's mind, and Christ's will. So that we can become like-minded. But I'm telling you, self-seeking removes individuals becoming like-minded. If your feelings and your agenda are in the way, You become self-seeking. We must be able to lay everything down at any moment and any time to do the will of God. That's like-minded. Amen? Anything other than that is self-seeking. Prevents like-mindedness for growth of the kingdom. Go to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. To become like-minded also, and we got a teaching on like-minded, that means you got to pay attention. Amen? You got to focus. You got to set your mind. Well, the Lord became like-minded with His Father. What did He do? He set Him before Him. Amen? Timothy became like-minded with Paul. Elisha became like-minded with Elijah because he followed him. Amen? The Lord wants us to become like-minded. Hallelujah. Romans 2 and verse 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life. To those who continue in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what? Self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Some people want to know, well, how come God shows you more favor than He shows me or whatever? Amen? Favor is different. It says there's no partiality. But what you sow is what you what? Reap. So if you've earned the trust of God more than somebody else's, He's going to show you more favor? Yes, He will. And every degree, He'll show you more favor. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Hallelujah. Bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Thank you, Master. That's why the Bible tells us, what Jesus said, listen, man, you're going to have to, if you're not willing to leave your everything, leave your everything. What's He trying to do? He's trying to say, come on, you've got to be like-minded with me. You got to be like-minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So listen, there's going to be things that are going to seem okay, but they're really not edifying. Amen? And this is where you and I have to be sensitive to. If what am I doing is edifying? The movie I'm watching, is it edifying? Or is it just bringing pleasure to my soul? Is it actually deceptive and imparting corruptible seeds? Or is it really edifying? Amen. Is it really teaching me something, or is it fulfilling my flesh? And everything that we do, we must be careful. Listen, God doesn't say that we have to be robots and not go out and have fun. Amen? But it doesn't mean that you can go to bars and stuff like that. In other words, we're supposed to come out from the world and be separate. There are things that we can have pleasure on and still be edifying. Go to Acts chapter 17. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 22. In verse 22, would you read it with me, please? Everybody there? Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found on the altar with this inscription, 'The Unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor does he worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and we'll close here. Would you read it with me? So to seek, it takes faith, doesn't it? Every time you make a move towards the kingdom of God, it takes faith. Every time it takes faith. If you're married to a servant of the Lord, it takes faith that God will send your husband back. It takes faith. When God says go, you go. It takes faith. We've got to be willing to let go of everything and do what God wants. Not be self-seeking, but become a seeker. That's how we break that spirit of complacency. Seek. We've asked enough, now we need to seek. Verse 6. But without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Spirit of complacency has now been exposed in our life. Amen? Now we need to kick its butt and get him off. And every corruptible seed that he's imparted, we need to destroy. Amen? Why? Because the Spirit wants his freedom in you. See, you want your freedom, but the Spirit wants His freedom in you. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. And we repent again, Master. We repent for associating and agreeing with the spirit of complacency, which brings false satisfaction and contentment. Lord, forgive us. We take authority and we curse that corruptible seed from You, spirit of complacency, and command it to wither and die, and break and loose ourselves from every association with that spirit and others of spirits that are associated with it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we welcome You, Holy Spirit. Take Your rightful place in this area, Lord, that we have so ignorantly taken place for the spirit of complacency. We now give You that place. And we thank You, Master. We love You. And we honor You. Have Your way here today. And let Your kingdom be manifest. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.